This is The Guardian.
Hi, Laura Murphy-Oates here. Before we kick off Full Story for 2022, we're revisiting some of our favourite episodes from the past year. Today, in an episode that originally aired in April last year, we dive into the world of chronic pain and how a collaboration between an artist and pain scientists led to the creation of, insert drumroll, a pain machine. I think part of the reason I really like this episode is that there's just so much of the individual human experience that is kind of unknowable. And this episode really delves into that, how one person's pain is hard for anyone else to really understand, and how that problem is kind of at the heart of why chronic pain is so often dismissed. Oh, and also sexism. This episode also features our very brave producer, Ellen Levita, putting her body on the line for the story. Okay, enjoy.
I am mentally preparing myself for things to be a bit hurty in the next little bit. Okay, I'm walking in now.
I'm Laura Murphy-Oates, and this is The Full Story. Pain is a pretty universal experience. Something like stubbing your toe or breaking an arm is a kind of pain we can imagine and understand. But empathising with chronic pain, pain that lives with you day in, day out, for many people, that's harder to understand. But what if you could feel that pain? What would that change?
Testing. Okay.
It's these questions that brought Full Story audio producer Ellen Leibeater here.
So I'm standing on the street in a cul-de-sac in inner Sydney, and I'm about to go into the house of an artist who's developed this chronic pain device.
This device that she's about to try on simulates the sensations of one particular type of pain, chronic pelvic pain.
Is it an OHS issue that I'm about to be put through a full spectrum of pain? Maybe.
Today, it's Tuesday, the 6th of April. So, Ellen, we made you go on this excursion for the sake of the podcast. Thank you. Your raise is in the mail. The point of it was to experience chronic pain, chronic pelvic pain specifically. What was going through your head as you headed out on this trip?
So I was a little bit apprehensive. I'd watched a few YouTube videos online of this device in action, and I watched as people were in obvious discomfort while they had this device strapped onto them. And despite being female and experiencing pelvic pain once a month when I get my period, I would still call myself a pain baby. Like, as soon as those menstrual cramps start, I'm popping painkillers, needles make me cry. I've been known to curl into the fetal position anytime a beautician attempts to wax any part of my body. Like, I just hate pain. pain, not my friend. And, you know, I was a bit worried about all this. So I open the door and
hi, hello.
Ellen? Yes, hello.
Hi, nice to meet you. Hey,
I was met by a very exuberant Eugenie Lee. I later found out that she had drunk a huge amount of caffeinated tea that day to get through the interview. So she was unusually hyper, she said.
Would you mind taking your shoes
off? Yeah, no worries.
You're right to do that?
Yep, super easy.
So we went into her office, which was, you know, an ordinary office. It had a desk and a very high-tech computer that I found out she'd built herself. And we started chatting.
Tell me a little bit about Eugenie and what's behind her work.
Eugenie's an artist who's experienced chronic pain, and her pain and her art are very much intertwined. She's been creating art like paintings and sculptures for many years to try and convey the isolating emotions that she experiences as someone who has suffered from chronic pain. And this is what artists do, right? They try and take an element of the human condition and make it universal and make it relatable.
So in a sense, I have been working on pain as a creative concept pretty much the whole time in my career.
And I suppose you could call this pain machine kind of the culmination of all this work, the final product that really represents the physical and the emotional journey that Eugenie and others like her have had to go through to have their pain recognised. And like a lot of women, it's an experience that started in her early teens when she began to get her period.
Initially, when I started having period, when I was maybe about 13 years old, I would get really sick only one day a year. And I'll throw up and I'll get extremely sick. I'll get cold sweat all over. I have fever, hot, cold, dizziness. I would be debilitated for one day.
Now, obviously, this is not a normal period. But in the beginning, it was just one day a year, so she just dealt with it.
And then gradually, it became a little bit more frequent.
So then it goes from being debilitating one day a year to one bad day every couple of months.
Maybe every 2-3 months, it gets really severe.
Then over time, that one day stretches out to 2 days.
And then it became for 3 days. And then it became every month, and you get sick for an entire week. Every month, like really, really sick.
Then that week became 10 days.
And then towards the end, I think it extended to maybe 20 days a month.
And how bad was the pain? Describe it to me.
Well, extreme case of shooting down my legs, inside the organs, pulsing sensation, like as if there's a thick, mucousy black blood boiling away inside my body. Almost it felt like it could just pop out of my body every pulsing moment. Stabbing pain, like something inside me, like there's an alien living in there and just stabbing away from the inside. It's like a ball of barbed wire just rolling and scraping against my organs and just turning, churning away and grabbing everything it touches relentlessly, mercilessly. All of those happening all at once.
When it got that bad, what did she do? Did she try and get medical help?
Of course, but everyone just thought she had bad period pain and would just say things like, you'll get over it.
And nobody could help me. I went to see so many doctors, many different specialists. They all said, yeah.
How many doctors do you reckon you saw?
Man, I've lost count.
She saw doctor after doctor, but none of them took her seriously. They all just said, take some painkillers.
How did that make you feel?
I just said, I'm already taking painkillers. Is there anything else I can do? Like, that's the question, anything else I can do?
And remember that it's not just a debilitating pain that Eugenie is suffering from. It's a cluster of other symptoms that are knocking her down. You know, nausea, extreme fatigue, bowel issues, dizziness, stuff that painkillers aren't even going to fix. So these doctors just aren't listening to her.
Mm.
And it gets to the point where Eugenie starts to seek cures from outside modern medicine.
And I actually went to see so many weird people who claimed that they could help me.
One person who particularly stands out for Eugenie was this guy who thought bee venom acupuncture was the answer.
And then he said, I can use bee stings following the acupuncture meridians, and if the bee stings, bee poison can get into you on the right spot, it can heal your entire meridian. So these poor bees, live bees, died for me. Who comes up with something like that?
Did you believe it at the time?
Oh, by then, when you go through so much pain and it goes on for long enough, you'll believe anything.
So what happened? Did she actually find out what was causing these symptoms and what was at the root of her pain?
Many, many years later, in her mid-20s, Eugenie was watching the news.
I actually saw something about endometriosis on TV, on news, and they were talking about, oh, this poor woman, she lives with this thing called endometriosis, and they talked about the symptoms, and I thought, that's my symptoms.
So she books in to see her gynecologist straight away.
And then a few weeks later, I went to see him and I asked him, do you think I've got endometriosis? Because I've been seeing this doctor for quite a while, but he never told me I may have endometriosis. And he said, oh yeah, you could.
And what exactly is endometriosis?
Endometriosis is a chronic inflammatory disease where tissue similar to the lining of your uterus, called the endometrium, grows outside the uterus. It can cause chronic pelvic pain, painful sex, fatigue, infertility, and other symptoms. And these symptoms can happen anytime, not necessarily around your period.
So it's tissue growing where it shouldn't and kind of expanding throughout your body.
Yeah, that's right. And it can affect all organs within the pelvic cavity. So that includes the bowel and the bladder. It can also be found in the lungs and the diaphragm and other parts of the body, in rare cases in the brain. And endometriosis affects about 1 in 10 women worldwide.
Why do you think that doctor didn't think that you had endometriosis before you raised it?
Good question. Why?
I guess we can't say why this particular doctor took so long to diagnose Eugenie, but we do know that it takes an average of 7 to 10 years for a woman to get properly diagnosed with endometriosis.
It strikes me that a condition that is so common takes 7 to 10 years to get diagnosed. Do we know why that is?
A lot of this probably has to do with doctors in the medical profession. They themselves just don't know very much about this. There's next to no research.
In Australia and all around the world, this is quite common that anything about pelvic pain, especially if it relates more to do with women and women's disease, then there's less funding and less popularity for people to go and do further research on it.
Medical students aren't really taught about it.
I think in Australia, the average hours to learn about pelvic pain itself is only a few hours out of all those years of study.
Mm. And there's this perception that pelvic pain is just bad period pain.
And for a long while, any kind of pelvic pain was related to period pain. That's how they thought.
But endometriosis isn't the only thing Eugenie suffers from. She also has been diagnosed with adenomyosis.
So adenomyosis is very similar to endometriosis. Instead, the difference is that adenomyosis happens within the muscle cells within the uterus.
And the symptoms of adenomyosis include painful periods and heavy bleeding. One other thing to note is that endometriosis and adenomyosis may cause chronic pelvic pain, but not everyone with these conditions has chronic pelvic pain. Mm. It's just what Eugenie has decided to focus on for this particular project.
Okay, and how did she go about creating this project and this machine that makes chronic pelvic pain accessible to everyone?
Well, to go back a step, Eugenie started collaborating with pain scientists to find out as much as she could about pelvic pain. And one piece of research was particularly useful in informing her pain machine. It was a pelvic pain survey done by a pelvic pain specialist by the name of Dr. Susan Evans and linguist emeritus Professor Roland Sussex. And this survey asked the question, what does your pain feel like?
And that question was so loaded and so desperately needed. As soon as they posted out on social media, they were bombarded with descriptions and sentences and poetic, poignant expressions of their expressions in such a beautiful way.
Eugenie and the researchers waded through the words that these women used to find the common descriptions.
From the survey, there are a lot of adjectives, the common adjectives that have popped up from nearly every single sentence from women. Shooting pain, hammering pain, kettle prodding pain, pulsing pain, all those things. We turned it into literally pulsing pain through the machine.
And then she used these descriptions to build her pain machine.
In my head, when I hear pain machine, I'm thinking of some sort of medieval torture device that you're strapped into. What is this? Can you describe it to me?
When I first saw the machine itself, it looks like a Nintendo DS, like an early 2000s game console. It's like a box with a bunch of wires and straps.
Not so scary.
No, no, it's deceptively normal.
Oh, yeah, it's working. Mm-hmm. I wasn't prepared. Oh my god. Yeah, it's working.
It's actually a 10/EMS machine, which are usually used to relieve pain or relax the muscles via electrical impulses that are connected to electrodes that are placed on your skin.
So what I've done is convert this therapeutic machine that's meant to relieve pain, and we hacked it and turned it into a pain-giving machine.
And Eugenie and the team she worked with have reverse engineered this machine to give rather than relieve pain.
So I asked my volunteers, okay, give me the adjectives. What are you feeling now? What are you feeling right at this moment? And they said, okay, oh my God, I'm feeling, oh, stabbing. Oh my God. And then hammering. Yes. And oh, pulsing. So we knew we were on the right track.
So the pain machine is fired up and ready to go. What happens next?
So we start the process of hooking me up. So first Eugenie has to lend me a pair of shorts to wear because I was in a dress. And then she places the electrodes on my skin.
So I've got two electrodes just above my bottom and two on my lower abdomen.
And our photographer was there to capture this whole experience, so that's why you can hear the flash going off in the background. So there's also a large belt that gets strapped around you over the sensors, and that's used to simulate the heat that can be associated with pelvic pain.
Mm.
And before going through these pain sensations, Eugenie tests your pain threshold.
So say if your threshold is maybe about 3 or 4 or even 6 or even 10, according to this machine, the pain settings will come in according to that intensity.
So she's basically ramping up the pain.
Yeah, to find what she calls your sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
Where it gets gentle, tingling, a little bit gets intense. And then we want you to stop right before you are about to scream out, stop, stop, it's so painful. That spot is a sweet spot that we're after.
It's a tolerable level of pain, if you can ever say that.
For a pain baby.
Yes.
This doesn't sound like an enjoyable process to have your pain threshold tested. What was going through your head when you're about to get tested for how much you can tolerate on pain?
This is the point that I'd been dreading. You know, it'd been all fun and games talking to Eugenie up until this point, but at this point you can hear it in my voice. Like, I was actually terrified.
Now I'm actually scared.
My legs and hands were clammy.
I'm very sweaty. I'm sorry about your shorts.
That's
They're going to need another wash afterwards.
Sweaty is just part of the anxieties. I'm exceptionally happy.
I can hear my awkward laugh, which is what I tend to do when I'm extremely nervous. And this anticipation of pain, it's all part of what's called the nocebo effect.
Nocebo, like the evil placebo.
Not an evil placebo. An evil placebo. So Obviously the placebo effect is you take a drug or some sort of treatment that's actually useless, but because you think it's going to work, you believe it's going to have a positive difference on you, it does.
Mm.
So nocebo is the opposite effect. If you think something is going to be unpleasant or uncomfortable, it will be, and it just makes the sensation so much worse.
Which means our anxiety level will naturally go up,
yeah,
and we might get a little bit sweaty and nervous. That is part of nocebo effect that a lot of people living with pain will experience, because chronic pain, you know, it's coming again. And when you feel certain regular sensations, you know, oh, the pain's starting. So that's a nocebo effect that you're expecting. Oh, it's going to be bad. How bad is it going to be?
Yeah.
I wonder if it's going to be like as bad as last time. So all those thought patterns before the pain sensation or perception of pain really hits.
Next, the pain machine. Okay, so you're strapped in. What happens?
Without warning, like there was no countdown or anything, the first shock hits.
Okay, it's just the anticipation. It's not
so
that
it's
bad.
Initial shock, right?
Yeah, it's just like a little tingle. You didn't tell me that was coming.
And from there, Eugenie increases the pain.
Okay, you ready? So I'm going to gradually increase the intensity. Okay. So again, we're after that sweet spot.
Oh shit! It's like it's electrodes. Okay, I can feel that in my legs. Okay, it's okay.
Jeez.
Oh, that's too much.
So it's literally just me screaming.
Okay, is it better?
that's the limit.
And that was my sweet spot.
I feel like the sweet spot is a very deceptive term for something that makes you scream like that. What number did you get up to on the pain threshold?
And you are just on the 4.
I only got up to number 4.
Mm. I'm just on 4! I thought I was...
And I know I'm a pain baby, but I honestly thought I was going to do better than that, so I was pretty gutted to only be at 4.
What's it out of again? Is it out of 10?
It's out of 10.
Yeah, okay.
Apparently they've had one man got to 10, actually. And this was a man who had had prostate cancer. And he said that this was a more pleasant experience than prostate cancer.
Oof, okay.
So that I guess that goes to show how bad prostate cancer is.
Mm.
But anyway, this was just the start of the exercise. So once you find that sweet spot, the other element of this is to try and do normal activities while you're in pain.
What do you mean?
So this is based on another element that came from the research of Eugenie's pain scientists. They asked female pelvic pain patients, what do they want other people to know about their condition?
Surprisingly, it wasn't about pain. It was more about they wanted other people to understand how hard it is to do simple things, to be able to spend quality time with their family and friends, or to be able to do something very simple jobs like sending emails. Mm-hmm. Those were really difficult for them that a lot of people didn't understand.
Eugenie and her team created a VR game that you play while cycling through the different types of pain.
Get participants to do something simple, play mm-hmm. something really simple that it doesn't require any instructions or difficulty with cognitive challenges.
So I put on this VR headset and the next stage of this experience begins, trying to do something normal while in great pain.
Oh, okay, there's my hands. I can see them. So I'm looking at a brick wall and it feels like I'm in an underground cave. Oh, but I'm really dreading this pain. I don't want to touch this ball. Oh.
So the task is hit the ball.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's just like little. Ah. Oh, God. Oh. Oh, that one's bad. That one, I can't move my legs. I can't move.
What was it like? What did it actually feel like?
It was actually, during this time, it was quite hard to have the lucidity to explain anything that was happening to me.
It's paralysing. It's paralysing.
I would like to hear you describe in words.
My abdomen feels like it's coming together.
Yeah.
Is that the cattle prod? Like, that? It feels like a... It feels like electrocution.
Yes, that's correct.
It feels like being hit by... And people feel this?
Yes.
This is a...
Very common description.
So I think the weirdest thing I found was the shooting pain up and down my legs. So Eugenie had deliberately placed the electrodes on my midsection that connected to the nerves in my legs. Ah. And it's just pain in an area I've never experienced before, like... The pain through my abdomen and lower back is fine because I've felt that before, but pain in my legs was just like I still get funny thinking about that experience.
Yeah. I genuinely just want to lie down and curl into a ball and, yeah, save myself.
Needless to say, playing that VR ball game became the least of my priorities.
So how would you feel towards people who live with pelvic pain after this experience?
Oh, I feel so much sympathy. I can't think, I can't move. Yeah, I have a lot of sympathy for them now.
And I guess actually feeling the sympathy for the pain was one thing, but the biggest surprise for me and the biggest takeaway I had from this experience actually stemmed from just an offhand comment I made as Eugenie was untangling me from the machine.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Am I done?
Yeah.
I wasn't even acting. That was not me being dramatic at all. Oh.
It's interesting what you just said. You weren't being dramatic at all. That you were maybe concerned whether people were thinking you were overacting?
Yeah, or doing it for the tape or the photo, like, no.
And you were concerned that other people might be dismissing what you just experienced?
Yes.
Despite this being Eugenie's life, despite this being the whole point of her work, I was worried that she wasn't going to believe my pain and that she would think that I was overacting or overreacting.
So this is pelvic pain that women live with all the time.
But as Eugenie points out, this is what it's like to live with pelvic pain, with nobody believing you and people dismissing you.
It's very natural for other people to say, oh, it can't be that bad. Yeah. If I'm experiencing something like that, I bet I won't experience something like that.
Or putting themselves in your shoes and saying, well, if it was me experiencing that pain, I wouldn't scream as much as you. I wouldn't let it ruin my day. My pain threshold wouldn't be that low. You're just being overdramatic. Suck it up.
But we can't help ourselves because it's so painful.
When, as I learned, the reality is the pain is like really, truly, honestly, that bad that you can't help how you react.
So this experience actually demonstrates that you can taste a little bit of that.
It sounds like this machine has had a pretty big impact on you, but the overall idea is to spread the word about what this pain is really like, right? Have many other people tried on this machine?
Yeah, quite a few people have. It was at an exhibition in 2019 where the public could try it out. Obviously, opportunities like that have been limited since the pandemic, but before exhibiting it to members of the public, she tried it out on plenty of friends and family, including one doctor friend of hers who's a gynecologist.
Natasha Andriatis, I'm a gynecologist, fertility specialist, and I suppose I had an interest in this because I see a lot of women with pelvic pain and period pain.
She was one of my guinea pigs before this artwork went to an exhibition. I wanted to make sure that she was getting it right and she was feeding it back to me with the right words as well. And I also wanted to get her approval, you know. And so she came over and then I strapped on the pelvic pain device.
Whoa. Oh, shit. Oh, my God. I can't even describe. I can't talk. It's so intense.
And then I said, okay, give me the adjectives. What are you feeling? And she thought initially, oh, yeah, I can do this. I feel like period pain. That's fine. But what is this at the back? I never thought that you feel any pain on your back. What is this? This is not normal, you know. And then I cranked up the intensity and she was off the chart. Her reaction was just fabulous. I mean, to me, it was fabulous. For her, it was like she couldn't stop swearing.
I've never felt intensity of pain like that before. Yeah. So maybe what you need to do is take this to med schools, strap every doctor, nurse to this. We will be more empathetic in terms of managing our patients because this is really uncomfortable. And if people have to go through this every month, shit, God.
And she said, after this, I'm going to be an empathetic doctor.
Does Eugenie think this would make a big difference if doctors did experience this type of pain or at least understood this type of pain more?
Yeah, Eugenie reckons it would make a huge difference.
Well, it will be tremendously different. And I can only say positive things. Tremendous, tremendous.
So I can give you a particular example. For Eugenie, she's been through surgery to remove some of the lesions caused by her conditions, but it hasn't been successful.
Many times, a lot of gynecologists, they say, okay, you shouldn't feel any pain because we just got rid of all your adenomyosis. We just had surgery. You shouldn't feel any pain. And then I'll come back and talk about I'm having these symptoms and, you know, and all that. And they said, well, but you shouldn't.
You're like, I'm still here.
I am experiencing this. I'm telling you. And I'm not exaggerating. Just like when you experienced my pelvic pain stimulations, you know, you said, you know, afterwards, I'm not putting it on. I'm not exaggerating, you know, and I believe you. But that sentence that I believe you was never said. I never heard that from any of the doctors ever in my experience dealing with clinicians ever.
And it was only through doing this project, through doing this research and spending time with pain researchers that Eugenie heard that phrase, I believe you.
What does it feel like when someone says, I believe your pain?
There is an enormous amount of relief. And suddenly you realize all my muscles were all tensed up because I was ready to fight on. To counterattack what you're about to say. You know, I'm just so used to it, like I'm conditioned to go against what you're about to say because I'm expecting you to not believe me. So when somebody said, I believe you, I thought, oh, what do I do now? and then I just realized, oh my God, my muscles are all tensed up and I just have to relax again. I think it heals me up to a certain point. Like it's just that effective. That sentence is so powerful.
Ellen, do you think that everyone should try on the pain machine? And if they did, what effect would that have?
Obviously, people who experience this type of pain don't need to do it because they know it. They know how bad it is.
Mm.
But I think for people who have never experienced this type of pain, then, yeah, it does give you a sense of what the person sitting next to you at work, what your partner or a family member might be going through on a regular basis. And this machine only simulates one type of pain, you know, chronic pelvic pain. There's plenty of other different types of chronic pain that are out there that hamper people's lives. And I think this does give you an insight into what it's like to live with pain and how hard it is to go about daily life.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you for putting me through tremendous pain.
That was a highlight. Your reaction was just so good.
If you want to find out more about Eugenie and her work, you can check out her website at eugenielee.com.au. That's EugenieLee. We've also put some links to some of The Guardian's reporting on chronic pain on the Full Story page. This episode was produced by Ellen Leibeater, Miles Herbert, Joe Koning, and John Chia. Additional production on our whole Best of series was by Beth Atkinson-Quinton. The executive producers of Full Story are Miles Muttignoni, Gabrielle Jackson, and me, Laura Murphy-Oates. Okay, catch you next time.